And I say to you, make friends with the mammon of wickedness, so that when you fail, they may receive you into the everlasting dwellings. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious, dear parishioners and guests, visitors, we are told in today's gospel by our Lord to look ahead, to not just focus on this life, but even more so to focus on the next life, eternal life. And our Lord, rather the master in this parable, commends the steward who acted unjustly. In other words, he was cheating the master by reducing these debts to the master. But the master said he acted smartly, not morally, but smartly. Because by making friends with the master's creditors, by diminishing their debts, which he still had the power and authority to do until he was completely removed, now he had friends that would help him out now that he's lost his employment. And our Lord is saying that we tend to not look ahead as we should. So he gives this parable to help us look ahead, to lay up treasures in heaven. And he even uses the phrase mammon of wickedness. Use the mammon of wickedness. I think the way to interpret that is to use our material resources, money even, in doing good works, and having masses offered for people, having masses offered for ourselves after we die, so that we can use those graces, we can have our purgatory time diminished as a result. So again, the unmistakable lesson in today's gospel is look ahead. One of the stories that impresses me so greatly from this book called The Catechist, it was written actually quite a long time ago. This is a reprint. It was 1922 was the imprimatur, but this is the story that tells us about looking ahead. I'll paraphrase this in part. Many years ago, there was a certain lord who kept a fool in his house, as many great men did in those days for their amusement. You could compare this fool to a court jester, somebody who is there to fool around, just be a joker, a jester. Now this lord had given the fool a staff and charged him to keep it till he met with one that was a greater fool than himself, bidding him, if he met with such a one, to deliver the staff to him. So it must have been of some kind of a fake or mock scepter. You keep this until you find somebody who's a bigger fool than you are. Give it to him, that scepter, that staff. Not many years after, the Lord fell sick, and indeed was sick unto death. The fool came to see him, and the sick Lord told him that he must shortly leave him. And where are you going? Asked the fool. Into another world, said the Lord. And when will you return? In a month? No, said the Lord. In a year? No. What then? Never, never. And what provision hast thou made, said the fool, for thy entertainment in the place where you are going? Alas, none at all. What? Said the fool. none at all? Here, take my staff. I have found someone who is a greater fool than I am. Are we not foolish, my dear brethren, by not making many provisions for eternity? It's a trip from which we will never return. Once we die, that's it. And if we do not make preparations, we are indeed fools and worse than fools. Because again, no matter how long a life you can have here on earth, it's nothing compared to eternity. It's not just a long time, it's forever. And we know not the day nor the hour. Nothing is more certain than death, but nothing is more uncertain is the day of death, or the circumstances of death. So we therefore have to always be ready. Last Monday was the anniversary of Our Lady's July apparition at Fatima. And in that most momentous apparition, Our Lady revealed the three secrets. It was one big secret, but often broken into three parts. And one of those, the first part of the secret, or the first secret, was the vision of hell. The second secret was that Russia would spread her errors throughout the world, the spread of communism, if Our Lady's requests were not answered. And then the third secret was supposed to have been revealed in 1960. As we well know, it was suppressed by the modernist Church of Vatican II. When John the 23rd read it, he saw that this secret would give the death blow to his modernist Council of Vatican II that hadn't begun yet. And so what officially was in that third secret? Oh yes, the Vatican revealed something in the year 2000, but I do not believe at all for a moment that that was the true third secret of Fatima. Don't have time to get into that, but the best estimate or conclusion that people have made is that that third secret was about the great loss of faith on the part of Catholics. And that's exactly what happened with Vatican II. Just to give you an example, before Vatican II, 75% of all, at least a minimum of 75% of Catholics went to Holy Mass faithfully every Sunday, at least 75%. That number has fallen to about 35%. An incredible loss of vocations, heresy everywhere. I believe that was the third secret of Fatima. But going back to the first secret, the vision of hell, my dear brethren, hell is real, and we could end up there. Who is in hell? Anyone who died in mortal sin. We must fear this more than anything else that could possibly happen. We must be careful not to thoughtlessly commit venial sin, because venial sin doesn't, well, it leads to mortal sin. It weakens us. And we live in an age, I'm sure it's happened though at other times, that people said, oh, how could a good God ever send somebody to hell? Well, I can think of at least a couple of good reasons. Well, first of all, we don't understand the malice of sin. Mortal sin deserves a most intense eternal punishment. We fail to realize how God is offended by sin. And also, what if hell wasn't such a bad place? What if it was just, you know, a place of inconveniences or mild sufferings? Well, even more people would end up there. hell's not so bad. I'll see my friends there. What horrible ways of thinking. The vision of hell was so horrible to the three Fatima children. Sister Lucia said later on, if Our Lady had not sustained us, we would have died of fright and horror. Let us not lose a healthy fear of sinning. That's one of the gifts of the Holy Ghost, the fear of the Lord, the fear of punishment. It's not that it should be our main relationship with God, our main relationship is love, but sometimes we need to fall back on that fear. I'm reminded of St. Teresa of Avila when she would be tempted, and yes, even the saints could undergo great temptations. And she would always go to love first as her motive. How can I offend God who loves me so much, who has done so much for me, who has died for me on the cross? How can I fall into this sin? I can't do that. But sometimes the temptation was so severe that she had to fall back onto fear, the fear of hell, the fear of God's punishments. So this is what we need to do to look ahead, at the least, to keep in the state of grace at all times. We cannot enter heaven without being in the state of sanctifying grace. Make the mistake of dying without it, it's the worst mistake you could ever possibly make. And there's a word I think that comes into play, and that word is tomorrow. You know, tomorrow can have some great connotations, especially if a day went poorly, all kinds of things didn't turn out, and we say, oh, thank God there's tomorrow, I can get a fresh start. There's even a song about that from a musical, Tomorrow. But there's also a very dangerous side to tomorrow. And because of our tendency as human beings to procrastinate, tomorrow becomes very dangerous. Tomorrow, I will go to confession. Tomorrow, I will give up the occasion of sin. Tomorrow, I will pray my rosary. Tomorrow, I'll start doing things that I need to do to save my soul. My dear friends, I believe that the word tomorrow has sent more people to hell than any other word. Because we know what happens. We'll say the same thing tomorrow, and then we'll put it off again and again and again. Remember this, the devil promises you tomorrow. With every temptation, every lie that comes from him is that lie. You have tomorrow. Or next year. But God does not promise us tomorrow. Nowhere in Scripture do we see that guarantee. Rather, our Lord tells us, be ready at any time. Today is the day of grace. Today is the day of opportunity. Today is the time for good decision making. So let us lay up treasures in heaven. This doesn't mean we neglect the things of this life. Of course, we have goals. We have to meet temporal goals. You have to earn a living. You have to fulfill your daily duty. You should save up. These are good habits to have, absolutely. Look ahead. Even in the temporal order, you should look ahead. Always look to the future and plan for it. Make sure you're not caught unprepared. But more than anything else, let us be spiritually prepared. Let us remember, as our Lord tells us, the children of this world are more prudent than are the children of light. So be wise, be prepared, look ahead, and remember that God wants us to be happy with Him in heaven. We have to persevere in order to get there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.